you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-host, my friend, my boss, Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Karima is...
vanished.
She's gone.
Yeah.
She's in the Zealands of New.
That's right.
For...
We tried to send her to Old Zealand, but instead she ended up
the Battle Angels.
Is there an Old Zealand?
That's a great question. I actually don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I don't think it would be called Old Zealand. It would probably just be called Zealand.
Right,
but where is that? So anyway, while she's there meeting Alita of the Battle Angel Alitas...
She's going to come back with creepy anime eyes.
I hope so. I mean, it's my dream. Now you know a specific thing about me. Instead, we have one of the founders of Shea Apocalypse, the co-host of the Apocalypse Book Club, and the host of Nella Explains the Thing.
Hi, I'm Nella.
Antonella and Sarah, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, again.
Coming to you live from the worst universe. Yes, there is a worse one, I promise.
Oh, yeah? I don't know.
Wait, did you say we're the worst universe? We're
no,
not the worst.
Coming to you live from the worst universe. There's a worse one.
There is one?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're coming
There's
from
hope.
A special one. Oh, okay.
Wow. All right.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, we got some stuff. Things are happening. There were some globes, golden ones, a marvelous captain, or was she? And some treks in the stars, or were they? All that and the future...
If you guys could hear me shaking my head right now.
They can. They can't because they're actually shaking their heads at the same
time. It's true.
Time.
Frequency, yes.
Yeah,
we're all syncing up.
Okay, so we're going to talk about all that stuff. But first, we do this thing at the top of every show where we speak on things that we're personally geeking out about. What's winning our week, if you will? Adam, it's up to you.
All right. Well, I didn't have anything new this week in particular, but I did finish The Gone World, which is the book that I had mentioned starting a few weeks back by Tom, I'm going to murder his name. It's like Sweaterlish or Sweeterlish or something like that.
It's Sweaterish.
Yeah, it is. Sir, I apologize if you are listening to this podcast for butchering your name. I don't even know. I didn't want to take one stab and just let it be that. So anyway, which was a very interesting book. It was good. I don't know that I would give it a rave. Had some really, really cool ideas in it about time travel and alternate universes, and also had a hint of kind of Cthulhu, not really Cthulhu, but Cthulhu-esque mythos to it. And it was good. I mean, it was a page turner.
Did you like the travel element to it?
Yes. I mean, basically, the way the book sets it up, this isn't a big spoiler or anything, is that anytime you can only time travel to the future. And anytime you time travel to the future, it's not a real future, it's a possible future, right? And so when you return to your original timeline, that future just disappears. And anything that happened in that future is just gone, and the people who were there are gone. So, and then if you travel to the future again, it could be completely different. Like, in one time, you travel to the future, and they've created these nanorobots that float in the air, and it acts like your cell phone, and you can look things up by saying, hey, I want to access this database, and it appears in the air in front of you and all this stuff. But then you go back and then you go to the future again, and that technology has not been invented.
I don't know if I want that technology.
Well, no, neither do I. And they actually talk about some of the how it's not so great, but
it's interesting. That's sort of the opposite of there's a Stephen King thing that they made a Hulu series out of starring James Franco called 11/22/63, where every time he goes to the past
and changes something,
but if he goes back again, it resets itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the equal opposite number of that. I just thought about the time travel element just because there's so much. I mean, is there just never not huge time travel stuff going on? Like 2019 is going to be lots of time travel. Yeah. You got Happy Death Day to You. You got there was a trailer for a Natasha Lyonne movie that's coming out called Russian Dolls. And I don't know if you realize this. It's the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future 2.
I did not realize that, no.
It is. Dose.
But
Endgame is probably going to have some time travel.
I don't know if this is happening this year. I have to look this up. But Neil Blomkamp is adapting The Gone World into a film.
Oh.
I think, or a TV show. One of the two. So it's being adapted. So we will get that, too. I don't know if that's coming this year or 2020, but it's in the works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting because we always talk about these things that bubble up, right? You know, zombies bubbled up in a certain era because of people were worried about consumerism. And then there was the post-apocalyptic thing. And what does that say about society that we're in? And I think, you know, time travel just speaks to a universal human want, which is to be able to go back and change things or change the future.
Or go forward and get a vibe on like what's to
right,
come.
Right, exactly. I think these are human desires that have never gone away. So that's why it's always going to be a trope.
I agree. I'm glad we could agree on this very important topic. Nella, what's going on with you this week? What have you been up to?
Well, I feel like I'm doing some timey-wimey stuff, but in the opposite direction.
All right.
Because I've been trying to research and prep for starting a new role-playing game with some friends of mine, and we're using the Spirit of the Century Fate Core system. So it's a 1920s pulp pickup style. So you got your jetpacks and your Nazi punching. And I already told everyone, like, look, if you just play Noir Spider-Man, I won't say anything negative. That would be the best thing ever. So I like playing history stuff with a little, like, change whatever you want. I don't care. Like, everything was terrible and on fire back then anyway. So we're going to see how it goes. Have some fun with it. Like I said, punch some Nazis probably. Take it from there.
Nice.
So much for the tolerant left.
Yeah, oh, wow. Got him.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, are you ready for what I'm geeking out about?
I'm
this
so
week?
Ready.
It's The Good Place.
They returned this
very week. They came back. Everybody was very excited because, you know, when they left on the last hiatus, they had finally actually arrived in the real McNeil Good Place, and then you don't actually see it. They're stuck in the building that they're in. But they do this thing, spoilers for this episode, I guess, where they kind of start to get political in a way that I haven't seen them do before, but in a way that I found really appealing. And I'm not always happy with the hyped up politics of every TV show, you know? There are shows that I used to like that I like less now because they're really like just hitting that even in politics, I agree with them. Like, I watched The Oath the other day and I was like, too much. Tried to watch Supergirl, has been way too much for me this season personally. But The Good Place, I mean, they made a riff about, like Jason said, that, you know, they were refugees. And they said, what kind of messed up place wouldn't help refugees? I was like,
did they all look at the camera
they
at
didn't.
That moment?
They didn't. They did not.
Airplane style. That really would have.
I wish they had, but they did not. So they did that. And then, hold on, there's another really great quote. So they meet up with like a PTA, like a committee of The Good Place, basically. And they're like, hey, the bad place has gamed the system so no one can get into The Good Place. And The Good Place reps say, we're going to look into this. We're going to figure it out. It's going to take 400 years to select the committee. It's going to take another 1,000 years to make sure that everybody in the committee is actually right. They've got to all research each other. And it's going to take probably like 10 million years to figure it out. But we're going to get it done. We're on this. And what Michael ends up saying is the Titanic is sinking and they're writing a strongly worded letter to the iceberg, which is
nice.
Which is great. And our own Preeti Chibnair tweeted screaming at the Dems. And I said, this is pretty good. But the really big thing that came out of it, which I liked because it wasn't so partisan is that they're looking at this and saying, is it actually the quote, the bad place that's causing the problem? Or is it just that the world has gotten so complicated that if you give your, you know, like 500 years ago, you give your mom some roses and that's a good thing. Now you give her some roses and it's like, well, who picked those roses? Who shipped those roses? Was it ethical to plant the roses in the first? It's much harder to do a thing that is net good. So are we just, what do you do about that? Are we, is the rating system of how you get into either the good or bad place skewed? And if that's the case, how do you fix it? Great question. Yeah. It knocked it out. What a great episode it was. And I was very pleased because it was just a little political, but it was critical of everybody. And then it suggested, yeah, there needs to be a change that is not as simple as one side is completely correct.
But also it has such a thematic purpose within the show itself, because it is about the good place versus the bad place and questioning, well, what is even good? So that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's dope. I've been a huge fan of the show for a long time. And now they're getting into the territory where they can totally blow it. But I mean, they haven't blown it so far. So, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood.
Yeah, I was going to say, to get this far in and not have blown it.
Yeah, it says really something to the character of the writers. They think they've really done their research, especially like because it's a show about philosophy and they've really looked into it. Anyway,
I have not watched the episode yet. Does it develop the Eleanor and Chidi romance any further?
Do you actually want me to tell you the answer to that question? Do you want to watch it?
I guess not.
You should watch it.
Does William Dawson Harper take his shirt off again?
You should watch the episode.
All right.
Just watch that episode.
There we go.
Just watch that episode. Yeah. Anyway, so that was what was winning my week. And now, let's talk about sort of newsy stuff.
Sure.
So very quickly, the Golden Globes happened. Kind of a bust for nerds.
Yeah, man.
Spider-Verse won.
That's true.
Breaking news: Spider-Man saves the day again.
Spider-Man.
That was great.
And that was great. We all like.
And interesting, just in the sense that, you know, that's a non-Pixar film. How long has it been since a non-Pixar film really was the consensus?
Neither Pixar nor Ghibli.
Yeah.
That is bananas. Because those are always the ones, right? It's always either a Disney Pixar thing or a studio, like a Spirited Away or a Howl's Moving Castle. For the last 20 years, it feels like it's been one of those two. And now it's this thing, which looks nothing like those. It's a completely different style.
You know the hardest thing about Spider-Verse, actually, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I know we have a lot to talk about, but I've been trying to talk my dad into going to see it because he's a huge animation fan, but he's not a Spider-Man fan.
And I keep telling him,
I just said, even visually, you will love what they do with this film. It's so such a feast for the eyes. And he's like, oh, I don't know, Spider-Man. And so that's an interesting thing with the movie. I wish that more, it's hard because it is a Spider-Man movie, but I wish that more people would be open to just the idea that this is a great animated film that takes animation, I think, a step beyond what's been doing recently anyway, stylistically.
I just can't get over that your dad doesn't like Spider-Man.
Does he demand
pictures of Spider-Man?
Exactly,
like,
yes.
That would be amazing. I like it.
When I was a kid, I was like, Dad, can I have $5? And he said, well, give me pictures of Spider-Man. And no, he didn't say that. But no, he's just not a superhero fan in general.
Fair.
So that's why I tried to talk him into Black Panther by telling him that the middle act of Black Panther is the best James Bond movie there's been in years because he's a big James Bond fan. But again, he hasn't really dipped his toe into that yet because he just doesn't like the costume superhero thing. So
did anybody expect Black Panther to win, though, honestly?
My son, it is your time.
Did anybody really think that was on the table? Genuinely. The answer can be yes. The answer was I felt that they just named it so that they could say that they had nominated. It never felt to me like it had a shot.
At the Globes, I thought it had a shot because of the duality of, you know, they divide up the best picture category. And it's always been a little bit of the wackier cousin to the Oscars. So
it is the drunk uncle.
Yes.
Of the Oscars.
Exactly. So I thought there was a chance. A small chance, like a 9% chance.
I didn't even give it that. But I thought it had maybe a 0.001% chance of winning.
I think the weirdest thing to me about the Golden Globes and the award season this year is that it's been really hard for me to remember what even happened the last year and what came out.
Yeah.
So everything that's nominated, I'm kind of like, oh, right, that came out this year.
Yes, 2018 was a long decade.
Yes.
It was the longest decade yet. Yeah, I mean, I wish it would have been cool. We got the great, they had the, it was like an elevator that people could walk into and do little posy things. And then people would post them to Instagram or wherever it wound up. Some people from Black Panther did some makeout times.
Nice.
That was cool. They did a whole thing where like Danai Gurira and Lupita Nyong'o. If you haven't seen it.
It's a great gif.
Quality content. So that was good.
I was watching to see when they had the three of them on stage, Chadwick Boseman, Lupita Nyong'o, and, or was it just three or four? Was Michael B. Jordan up there too? I can't remember.
I don't think they actually.
And they were
brought
actually introducing the movie, and they had to do the Wakanda Forever salute. Did you ever see that meme that was going around for a while? That was like Chadwick Boseman when the movie came out versus Chadwick Boseman 2 months later, and him doing the Wakanda salute, looking like he wanted to die by the end of it because people had been making him do that over and over and over and over and over again.
So I'd be tired.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I feel like the joy has gone out of the Wakanda Forever thing. A little bit, but
who knows? I mean, maybe every once in a while if you trot it out for the right reason. But yeah, it's kind of weird for somebody to say, hey, you do a dance. Do the dance now.
Right.
Do your dance. Right. It's weird.
I think I still think that Black Panther might end up in the best picture pool.
I mean, that's coming up. We'll find out those nominees. I think it's not next week, but the week after, I think, is where that cracks. But yeah, I don't otherwise, you know, I watched some Globes thinking something was going to happen. And then I guess Christian Bale thanks Satan. It was a weird night.
Yes.
But that's about it. So let's talk about something that's a little more interesting, which is Captain Marvel.
So you're not from around here.
It's hard to explain.
Captain Marvel had a pretty good week. I would contend you got kind of a trailer-ish, a new, like, fresh look. There was a new comic that came out. They actually did a big re-release of the original Ms. Marvel run, and Sam Jackson said something he wasn't supposed to say.
What did he say? I missed that part.
Oh, he said that she has the power
of time
travel.
Yes, right. Okay.
She's got a time travel power, which sort of blows up the whole Endgame situation. You're like, oh, well, I guess we can undo these problems pretty quickly. We just need Carol Danvers.
I think I would love it if basically she time travels back to right before he snaps his fingers and stops him, but then he time travels using the time stone, and it just, the whole Endgame is just a loop of them doing that for 2.5 hours.
Like, guys,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Just 2.5 hours of time loop over of the same scene over and over again.
Yes.
This is what Endgame is going to be.
Yeah, he just is like, I've come to bargain! Come on. But yeah, I don't... did you watch the first look?
I did.
What did you think about it?
It was the
fresh look or whatever it was.
I liked it. I think it's the dialogue in the first two trailers that were released felt a little stilted to me, but I'm always willing to chalk that up a little bit to trailer editing. You know, they take bits and pieces and throw it all together. And this, for the first time, there were a little more extended dialogue.
Yes, yeah, she has a personality,
right?
Yes. That's nice.
Yeah. And I think that it sold me a little more on the movie. It was like, oh, because it's always looked great. I think that from the first time I've seen it, I mean, it looks amazing. It's a little weird, you know, it's funny because when they put out these posters and everything for it this week and people say, oh, Brie Larson looks great. And I'm like, no, that CGI rendering of Brie Larson looks great. Like, it's not actually Brie Larson in the hood, you know, the helmet with the mohawk. It's that's a CGI puppet. But anyway, so seeing some of that, the dialogue and the stuff with Jude Law and everything, sold me a little more on the story of the movie in addition to how it looks. Yeah.
What do you think about now that we're seeing more and more of Sam Jackson? I was going to say euthanized, and that's yikes. But, you know, youthed with the computer graphics. Do you feel, are you getting comfortable with it, or...
I was never really uncomfortable with it this time around.
It looks okay.
It looks pretty good.
But then again, like, to me, it's going to come down to how well does it play on screen for a couple of scenes.
I know.
Yeah, like, I guess we'll see.
Trailer cuts are one
thing. Clark looked okay, too. You know, get your Coulson back in action.
I mean, this is really the most extended version of this we're ever going to see, right? Or we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Michael Douglas had it in Ant-Man and the Wasp and everything, or in Ant-Man, but it was a scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this seems much. I mean, I guess we have no idea. We won't know until we're in it. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be way more of it in this movie than there's ever, ever, ever been. I had to say ever that many times in order to get the idea across, you see. But yeah, I mean, it looks good so far. It's this trailer is the best it's ever looked to me. So I guess we'll see. Interestingly, I feel as though, as often is the case, the comic that's coming out now is sort of, you know, it's trying to strike a balance, and I think pretty successfully, between giving you the thing that is familiar to the movie that's coming out, but also doing the thing that the movie's not going to do. So she's been in space for a while in the comics. And, you know, she had some bad stuff happen during the events of Civil War II. Her brother got really sick. Her mother has died. And during that death, you find out that her mother was actually, she was an alien the whole time. Yep, she was a secret Kree. And so all that happened. And now she's back on Earth. And what's cool about it is that we get to actually have Spider-Woman, who's like her best bud. I'm assuming it's probably not going to be in the movie. So it's kind of nice that you get that character. You get to see Tony Stark. You get to see all these folks in the comic. And they're going to, I think, go to a weird alternate timeline or a future timeline where things are jacked up. And it's just all of these things that, you know, Carol's a big, complicated character. There's a lot of things you can do, but they're not going to do with an introductory film. And I think they're happening in the book. And that's pretty exciting. But mostly Spider-Woman and Captain Marvel beating up a giant squid beast. It's quality content.
I mean, anytime you bring a giant squid beast into the equation.
Here's what I know. Whenever I need to pitch anything to Adam in the future, I'm bringing a squid.
That's right. Yeah.
That's it. I'm just going to show up squid in hand.
I worked for Watchmen.
Wow.
You know, and that's why the movie didn't work. They took the squid beast out.
See?
Yeah.
That was their first mistake.
I've been wondering this whole time. I was like, how am I going to get my own vertical? And now I know.
Someone should do a graphic novel that's the story of the squid beast from Watchmen, and, you know, him being sad that he wasn't in the movie. You know, he goes to the Warner Brothers lot and he's like, hey guys, I heard you're making the Watchmen movie, and they're like, oh yeah.
You know, it's not easy getting work as a squid.
That's right. I mean, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and getting remade, you know, or that's kind of in development hell. So.
I've been a squid the whole time. You didn't even know.
Now
I guess I had to like keep it a secret.
A lot of the scenes got cut from the Harry Potter movies. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here, have a delightful word from our sponsor.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, so that's going on. I think we've probably exhausted all of the things that can be said about Captain Marvel.
Sure.
At this point, hey, Star Trek. Ooh. Wow, lots of stuff. Lots of things happening in the world of Star Trek.
This angel showed me an apocalyptic vision. Someone or something is going to end all sentient life in the galaxy.
Primarily, Star Trek, well, there's a thing that's not happening, which is Star Trek 4. Nella, you're a Star Trek person. Are you sad? How do you feel about there not being a Star Trek 4?
You know, I wasn't even so sure it was going to happen to begin with. It seemed like there just had been news that I was noticing about Star Trek 4, aside from it might be a time travel thing and we might bring in Hemsworth, which, I mean, Okay.
I mean, here's what I knew. The two best Chris's
in a movie
together sounds great.
I mean, that does
those
sound
are my
great.
Fave Chris's. Those are the if ever there were two Chris's in the world that I like, it is Pine and Hemsworth.
I mean, it would be two great Chris's who hopefully go great together. But again, I just hadn't been aware of any big news, and the cancellation kind of came as a surprise because I didn't know we were on.
Well, it also wasn't even. It was a footnote,
right?
Yeah. It was a part of other news.
Yeah,
you know, I think they were talking about, you know, stuff that S.J. Clarkson, who was going to be the first woman to ever direct a Star Trek movie, and they were talking about other things that she was doing, and also, by the way, I guess this isn't happening anymore. Shelved indefinitely. Are you sad? What I mean, did you like the Star Trek movies? Where's your head at?
I really liked the first one.
Same.
I did not necessarily love Into Darkness. And the third one was okay. Like I felt okay coming out of it. I wasn't jazzed. I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Star Trek, but
I dug it. I am a big Star Trek Beyond fan.
I just, the wanness of it was the part that bothered me. Like, oh, we're going to surf this wave of enemies playing the Beastie Boys. That was a little, the James Wan-ness of it was a little much for me. Some of the other elements of it were great. You know,
well,
and I love it
thing.
Just
I mean,
as the
if,
villain.
You know, if you're
going to
put James Wan on it, he's James Wan going to James Wan.
Yeah.
And so I liked, I mean, I didn't mind that. And it was, I think of the three, I thought felt the most Star Trek.
Well, definitely the most original series. That Pine had really come into Kirk in a way that felt good and settled and felt much more like the original character than what we've seen in the other two movies. As much as I liked the first movie, like, it was still like, Kirk's a nerd. Even if he has a troubled childhood, he's a nerd, and you got to kind of play him like a nerd.
Yeah. Dude, you still have never, you just didn't watch Into Darkness, right? You put a ban on
I'm
it.
Sorry, what movie?
Wow.
I mean, you know, the deal was the rumor, and I mean, it's a rumor, but it's
at me promising Gary Mitchell and turn around and give me Khan. Don't do that.
Yes, many layers. But the rumors make sense, right? Which is Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth are not going to take a pay cut.
Right.
They're not going to take the money that they were getting, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, especially like, you know, 2009 money. They're very famous now. They're both way more successful now than they were then. And to think, well, Star Trek Beyond didn't make a lot of money, so could we all take a pay cut? Could we do that? It was never, ever, ever going to play. Never.
And I have seen some hot takes where it's sort of blaming Star Wars for the Star Trek cut. And I'm like, I think Star Trek is going to
really
be focusing
misguided.
On its TV shows. And I think it's going to have a strength there. Because you can have all the special effects you want, but I think a TV series works incredibly well for Star Trek.
I agree with that. That's what I was going to say. I agree with that 100%. I mean, the best Trek has never been movie Trek, in my opinion. As much as I love Khan, the first Khan, and as much as, you know, I love Star Trek IV. And
I was going to say One with the Whales.
Yeah,
is a quality film.
I love that movie. I will go to bat for that film all the time. But I'm saying the best Trek has always been TV. And so I think that focus on that, do that well, and these little mini movies that they put out and everything, those are great. Like,
and that's the thing, acknowledge that the reason Star Trek Beyond didn't do great is because, and the reason why Into Darkness did, even though it had all this bad press, so Star Trek Into Darkness did well because they brought Benedict Cumberbatch in, and he was a draw. And that's the thing about movies, is that the way that you go about making a successful film is not, and never really has been, a good fit for Star Trek. Because Star Trek, you want to do a thing that appeals to fans, but it's niche. At its heart, Star Trek is always going to be a little bit niche,
even though
everybody knows what it is.
And it's also going to be so ensemble. Like, you can have, the Kirk, Spock, and Bones, but like, I mean, beyond, I felt a little disappointment that there wasn't more Uhura and everyone else, you know, because in the end, for a movie, there's only so many other characters you could fit in there and do them justice. Whereas in a show, you can have the episodes that focus on the other characters you like and give them their moment as well. Because
you have your Reg Barclay episode.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is the thing, right? So if you have to spend all of this money to keep Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, I like those guys. great guys. But the whole movie is going to be about them, isn't it?
Isn't that
it's going to be all the story about Kirk's dad feels so that we can have a story focused on the actors that are going to put butts in seats. And is that the best Star Trek movie? I would say absolutely not.
No, a better Star Trek movie in this alternate universe would be Kirk and his mom, because they start setting up in the third movie like, yeah, he talks to his mom. It's not a bad relationship. They call. I would much rather see like science mom retired back in space and like coming in and doing things with her son than bringing his dead dad back. Like,
yeah, I agree. Give me Winona. I agree completely. Like, I'm sad for S.J. Clarkson. It would have been very cool for her to direct a Star Trek movie, but she's going to have other opportunities that, you know, the world's not going to end. And I liked the Star Trek films. I just don't know that there's really, is there a place for them? Do they really fit in the ecology of the world that we're living in right now in the cinematic world? I don't think so. Whereas, you know, and it really, it says something that the Star Trek stuff that is coming out isn't even coming out on television. It's streaming. It's all streaming stuff. So I think that kind of says it all. And it's not a dig on Star Trek by any means. I rewatched Discovery and realized that I actually love it. The first time I wasn't comfortable with the fact that it was going in a new direction. But now that I know what they're doing, I've realized that I really enjoy it. And the Picard thing is exciting. And all these animated, the Lower Decks, and they announced this week that there's another animated series that they're going to be working on. There's all this stuff that, you know, fits in the streaming world. I think that that's where Star Trek ought to stay. And I think that if they do enough of it, maybe someone will actually say CBS streaming is worth it.
Right.
Amazing. Wouldn't that be a real coup? But yeah, I just don't think it fits in the world anymore, which is sad, in the movie world.
Well, and it sometimes did and didn't in its original movie format. I mean, those movies had wildly varying degrees of success. Even financially,
yeah,
you know. So, and
I was going to say, I mean, Star Trek IV is actually, that was the most successful one for the amount of money that they spent. And if you take everything into account, that was the biggest slam dunk hit. And that is why Insurrection happened, because they thought if they made a funny one, that would bring in the money. And gosh, that did not work out. And that's the thing. They only had one real next gen success. One.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice that they tried. It was fun while it lasted, but I don't think that Star Trek movies are a thing that we need.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey.
What's up?
What do we need?
What do we need in 2019?
2019 is a year.
It is.
We're in it.
We are.
But we're only at the start. And so we must ask ourselves, where's this year going? What do we think is going to win the year? What do we wish would, and maybe necessarily won't? So what's your, all right, let's start there. What do you want? If you could just make it, if you could make a little genie wish, what is the thing that you would want to be the biggest hit of the year?
Twilight Zone.
Whoa. Good take.
Right out the gate, Twilight Zone. Let's do this.
Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone, you want to be finally, after all this time, after all these attempts to try and recapture the glory of Twilight Zone. It's actually good again.
I'm scared because there is a part of me that's worried that people are going to be like, oh, it's like Black Mirror, but you know, I'm a little worried.
You showed them.
Yeah. No, I'm just a little bit worried that there's going to be too many comparisons drawn to Black Mirror, either from the audience or just in the writing of it. But I don't think we're going to hit that, because I think I have faith that the people they're bringing on understand that Twilight Zone isn't just about what if technology, but too much, but it's very much about like people and also like weird little pockets where things aren't as they seem. And I want that again. It doesn't have to recapture the original show, but I think we're in a time and a place where we can have these snippets of what ifs and alternate dimensions and things like that make you go, what's going on? And unsettle you a bit and make you ask some really hard questions and maybe you don't come up with good answers for it, but it's like stuff that makes you pause. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I don't know what that first episode's going to be, but it needs to have a, well, that's not fair. That's just not fair. They do need it. They do. That first episode had better be of the there was time now and his glasses broke. They need it. They need it so bad. They do. Like, after that, they could do whatever they want. But the first episode, if it doesn't do that, man, then what's even the point? They've really, that first episode had a better be. That's my concern, right? Because Black Mirror does exist. Lots of people have tried to do more Twilight Zone stuff. I mean, Lord, Rod Serling had a whole other show where there was a painting every episode. Man, everybody wanted that to be great. Wasn't. It's really hard.
Well, and there's Altered Carbon out there now. And what's that other show? Electric Dreams.
Electric Dreams.
Lots of anthologies out there in the world.
Wait, is Altered Carbon?
Is it an anthology?
I don't think so.
There's another one, though, isn't there?
You're just making things up.
There's another one.
Probably. There is Electric Dreams. That's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all right. Possible. Possible, but the deck is stacked against it a little bit.
But if I'm just going to sit here and tell you what I want,
okay,
that's what I want.
Okay, what do you want?
I have two things.
All right.
That I want, and these are not, I'm not picking what I think is going to win. This is what I want.
Yes, this is the one, and then we'll give you what
we think. I'm sticking with Jordan Peele.
Okay.
Which is Lovecraft Country.
Okay.
Which is his adaptation of a book by an author whose name I don't know off the top of my head, and I'm so sorry again, sir, who wrote this book. But it is a great book. And it is and when they announced that Jordan Peele was producing this show for HBO, I got the biggest smile on my face because it's such a perfect fit. It's about a, you know, African-American soldier who comes home from World War II and his family inherits this house in Chicago. And then all this eldritch Lovecraftian stuff happens. But it's intertwined with the Black experience in post-World War II America. And it's a fantastic book. And it's just such a perfect fit for Jordan Peele. So I'm super psyched about this show coming out. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Devs, which is the FX series from Alex Garland. Because I think Alex Garland is one of the most interesting. He's been one of the most interesting filmmakers working in science fiction in the past several years. And boy, does he need a win. Yeah, I mean, he's put out Annihilation. We talked about when we recapped 2018 was the movie that... It's hard to say, oh, that was my favorite movie. I walked out of there super excited. But I thought about that movie after seeing it more than I thought about any other movie that I saw last year. And Ex Machina, I think, was brilliant. But neither of those movies resonated at the box office. And it's because, you know, we've talked about what the cinematic landscape is like and whether there's room for that type of filmmaking in, you know, major motion picture world today. And the fact that now... A lot of that storytelling has moved over to TV. So that's where Alex Garland is going. And he's developing this TV series called Devs for FX. And
good space for it. I mean, between Legion and Fargo sort of seems the right space.
Very much. So I just really hope that show is good, first of all. And then I hope it is wildly successful because that guy has deserved a lot more recognition than I feel like he's gotten from a wider audience in the past couple years. How about you, Danny?
It's the Picard series.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, I don't know many things that actually have the deck stacked against quite the way that does. And I'll tell you why. The expectation is off the charts. But, A, you've got CBS streaming factor, which people still are not gung-ho about it. Not gung-ho about spending extra money that for basically just one or two shows for a whole year. B, a lot of hardcore Star Trek fans do not have faith in this Picard series because they don't like Discovery and it's made by the same people. And this is a series that they have acknowledged is taking into account two things, neither of which are doing great. One that we just talked about, which is Star Trek, the 2009, the Kelvinverse, and Star Trek Nemesis, which was the death knell of Star Trek movies for a while. And when I say that, I mean, A, they're dealing with mostly it's just that they're dealing with Romulus, right? And when they say like, oh, okay, so Romulus was destroyed. So Romulus was destroyed in the book events, the comic book events that lead up to the 2009 Star Trek movie. And the reason why it matters to Picard is because at the end of Star Trek Nemesis, he had started to really build the relationship between the Federation and the Romulan Empire. So I know that. I care about all of these things. So it's a thing that was made just for me. it feels like, and I like Star Trek Discovery. So yeah, like perfect for me. But how many me's are there out there?
I saw a lot of excitement around that, though, when that was announced. I mean, that made a big splash.
It did, but I have got...
And people love Sir Pat Stew.
I'm not denying that, but I think that it's... But they keep talking about how different it's going to be. You know, I think they're trying to come at it from a Logan place, right? This is late stage, end of his life, Professor X style Captain Picard or Mr. Picard or, you know, Jean-Luc or whomever he is at this point.
Yeah.
Man, I'm all in on that, but boy, I really don't know. Is that going to be a hit? I have no idea. And that, I think, as we sort of switch gears from what we want to what is, the big revelation is it's, in my opinion, because nothing gets a backlash anymore because everything's already front lashed. Everything is already pre-lashed. So all the things that I would have said for sure, there's a Star Wars movie coming out. It must be Star Wars, except for all the shit that happened last year that makes it seem like maybe not. And I want to say Game of Thrones, but they're out of books. And people were very critical last year.
Yeah, but that's...
It's the only one I've got on the plate that I think... Was that going to be your pick?
That was, yeah.
Okay. I'm curious. So we're on the same page. Nella, what do you think is actually going to be a hit?
I'm kind of where you're at with that because, I mean, I was sort of like looking over a list of just movies that are coming out and it's more Marvel, it's sequels, and I'm just like, I don't know what's going to...
But Marvel has a really interesting year this year. I was just looking at that. They shoot their shot by March.
Yeah.
Or April, I guess.
Because they got the two out the way.
Yeah. And then the other thing that's coming out is Spider-Man Far From Home, which is in July.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I am not expecting... much.
Yeah. So
not to the quality of the film, but I actually don't think that that movie, the last one, was so flash in the pan. Like, it came out, people really liked it, and then it got forgotten real fast.
Yep.
Or even like Disney's got Dumbo and Aladdin live actions coming out and Lion King. That's all this year. And I'm like, I don't know. How's this going to go? I mean, I assume it's going to go great in the international markets, but I have no idea how they're going to get talked about at all.
I mean, listen, I think Marvel is going to have a huge March and April. Avengers is going to be enormous. Yeah. Everybody's going to see that a million times.
But when
times.
We look back on 2019 as a whole,
right?
What is going to be the thing?
I mean, I think that Endgame might be one of them. Just because it really depends. I think there are all these theories out there about this is the last time we're going to see Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and Hemsworth and the original Avengers, and certain characters are going to die, and it's really going to change everything for Phase 4. And if that is true, I think that it'll be a huge moment for fans, for fandom in general. Just it's the end of an era and this huge sea change in what is now the dominant movie franchise. I mean, it's just so funny because we talk about Star Wars and the idea that anything could be significantly bigger than the Star Wars movie coming out in a year. But I think
that's the thing. I looked at it and I said, wow, this is the end of their new Star Wars trilogy. But because there are Star Wars movies coming out every year now, and because The Last Jedi is the most divisive, I mean, that was the most divisive movie of 2017, period. Yeah. To the point that every day, no matter if I go and look at a video of somebody, eventually it's just going to come up. Either they loved it or they hated it. And if they hate it, boy, they're still talking about how much they hate it a lot.
Yeah.
So I and Solo tanked. It friggin' tanked, man. Whew, I can't believe. So I know, I don't think Star Wars is going to, and that bums me out because I'm excited. I liked Force Awakens. Criticisms be damned about it. And I loved The Last Jedi.
Yep.
So I'm jazzed personally, but no, I don't even know if that's top five biggest moments of the year, honestly.
Mm. Moments overall.
Yeah.
Movie wise, I think it'll be top five.
I don't know.
I think there's enough love still for Star Wars.
I think it's going to be an interesting feel because Carrie Fisher is gone. And I think that's going to really overshadow a lot of it, or not even overshadow, but there's going to put a feeling over it of something has been lost. And, you know, we're all coming to this thing that we love. Like, most of us still love it. You know, as much as there has been the backlash, like, I think we still all have a place in our hearts for Star Wars. And I think it's going to kind of change the viewing of it for a lot of people. I know it's going to change it for me.
That's what I'm saying. It's just
my big theory.
It's so weird.
Originally, although I don't know that J.J. Abrams is the filmmaker to do this, was that they were going to destroy the Millennium Falcon in this one. And that's the final connection, right? Because we lost Han, we lost Luke.
Yes, we've lost Leia.
So, and I doubt they would kill Chewie, but that was the Millennium Falcon. Millennium Falcon has been the link, right, through the first two movies, the biggest link to the original trilogy. And I think that they should blow that up, but they won't, because J.J. Abrams is too much of a crowd pleaser, I think.
Who knows? Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll try and go. I'll go to Bad Robot. I'll go knock on J.J.'s door. We've never met, but I'll get the answer. Yeah. I'll make him do it.
But I hope I hope Captain Marvel is a huge hit. I hope it's really good. That's one that I hope really is one of the signature movie moments of the year.
I have no idea.
And then, yeah, Game of Thrones. I think I know that people had some issues with last season, but it's the final season. It's only six episodes.
Winterfell is yours, Your Grace.
And every episode, they said, is going to be a minimum of an hour long.
Right.
Everything's supposed to feel just like an enormous blockbuster.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that the audience of millions of people who have invested this long are going to abandon the show over some geography issues from last season. You know, the people like to complain about, oh, how did Varys get from here to here and they're flying, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, people are invested in that show. And
we'll see. You know what it was? It's that
they've watched hundreds of hours of television.
It's that frequent. I guess this is to your point a little bit. Todd in the Shadows, Todd Nathanson, who is occasionally on this podcast, had said to me while we were watching the Globes that he doesn't really care about Game of Thrones anymore. But he's watched it this long, so might as well see it through to the end. But it's weird to think that I don't think he's alone in that perspective. And here's another thing that when they said that every episode is going to be this hour long blockbuster where they're pulling out all the stops, everything was going to be crazy. It made me think of Doctor Who and how badly that worked out for them when they tried it. They did that. There was one of the two split seasons that they did. It was the first half of season 7 where Stephen Moffat said, everything is being done for the movie poster. Asylum of the Daleks. Dinosaurs on a spaceship, you know, whatever the other ones were. And that it tanked. That was not a successful season at all. You know, I mean, obviously there's a difference between Doctor Who and arguably the most prestigious television show period of the last decade.
Right.
But, you know, I have no idea. I think it's probably right. It's the only guess that I had. When I thought, honestly, objectively, what do I think people are going to remember when we get to the end of 2019? I think Game of Thrones is probably it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, the anticipation for it is so enormous. And even if it loses, say it lost a third of its audience, which is a dramatic thing that I don't think will actually happen, it's still enormous. It's still the biggest show on television in terms of audience at that point. So, and you know, I think there are those of us who sit here and dissect every little thing and every single thing that happens in this space, and because that's our job and because we're enormous nerds. That's not like there's this other mass audience out there that is not, as I don't think, turned off by what some of the foibles of the show over the past season as we have the potential to be, I guess. I wasn't really necessarily. I actually enjoyed last season quite a bit. So I don't know. I mean, and given again that it's the conclusion, the production value is going to be stupid. It's just going to be stupid, expensive, and looking, and nothing like it has ever happened on television before. And I think it's going to be hard to for anything to make as big an impact. Whether it'll be good, I don't know, but for in terms of the crater it's going to leave in its wake, I think that nothing, at least on TV, is going to match that.
And sure. I think the hype machine is going to get, I mean, I feel like right now it's sort of been in production for so long that when I talk to people about it, they're kind of like, oh, yeah, that's coming back, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think once we get closer, the hype machine's going to get people excited. There's going to be the viewing parties because it's only on HBO Go. And people are going to want to be a part of it so they can talk about it. I think that's going to be the one that people are going to want to keep on top of so they could talk about it.
I mean, there was 4 seconds of it in the trailer, the 2019 thing that HBO put out, and people went nuts.
They did. That is the reason why I concluded. So interesting. Nobody said Shazam. That's sort of one of the big DC things that are coming out. That's, you know, like their first bid to make something that hopefully appeals to everybody. You know, that's their all ages bid.
For one, welcome our Pokemon overlords when Detective Pikachu drops.
Oh. Here's one thing that I didn't bring up, but I do think will be a big hit. I think it'll probably be the biggest horror hit of the year is It Chapter 2.
Interesting.
I think that's going to be a real big because they've got a big cast of people that people are excited about. The first movie made an insane amount of money for a horror film. And yeah, it's just I think it's got a lot of goodwill. It's got that Stephen King magic on it. I mean,
horror this year is basically that versus Us, right?
There's other stuff. And I mean, I do think that Us will be a success.
Yeah.
I do. But just from a will literally everybody have seen it? I think everyone is going to go and see It Chapter 2, except for you because you're a scaredy cat, Adam.
I'll see. I have to see it for work.
Okay.
I read the book It. I know what happens.
That I would say. But yeah, I mean, I was going through it. You know, I'll tell you. No, so none of us brought up any X-Men movies. There's no shock. Nobody said anything about that Men in Black International. That's coming out.
Well, I mean,
Toy Story 4, nobody's done, like, do we think?
I think that'll be good, and I think it'll probably be a hit. If we're talking about the biggest thing of the year, I don't think that's it. And I don't think Men in Black International is it again, but that doesn't mean it won't be a success. I don't know if it'll be a success or not. I think it has the potential to be, but, you know, how we define that now is different. And you know, you're talking about Endgame making billions of dollars worldwide. Up against that, even a you know, generally successful movie does not look as big.
Yeah. I'm literally looking through just to say, am I missing something? Oh, you know what? None of us said any. Wait, is the new Wonder Woman that's coming out?
2020.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Oh,
it got pushed.
Damn it. All right. So not that.
So yeah, DC's big thing next year. Well, Shazam, and then there's a Joker movie.
I don't know about that as a big year winner.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll look back and say I was a fool, but I don't. That still seems kind of niche in a way.
I don't even know if that's going to do that well.
What about Zombieland 2? People have been waiting 10 years for that movie. A decade.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know.
Joker. I don't know about Joker because has a villain movie that's just about a villain ever really resonated with people? I'm trying to think back.
Despicable Me, right? He's the bad guy in
there,
that, right? Technically, he's like a reformed bad guy.
But you need, I mean, the great part about the Joker has always been playing him off of Batman.
Yeah.
It seems to me.
But you know, look at what a very sexual success Venom was. Look at how much that movie made insane amounts of money.
But
so
people,
who knows?
Yeah, but I think people are into Venom as a character more
but
than
people
they're
are.
Into
you
the,
think people are more into Venom as a character than the Joker?
By himself?
I don't know, man. That was the whole thing. Venom. They said you're going to do a Venom movie without Spider-Man. What's the point? And then it made over $800 million.
That's a fair point.
I'm putting it out there. I think that's actually, I don't know. Now on looking at it again, it's just that the Joker movie kind of has a bit of an art house vibe to it. It's designed more to be a thinking man's film. You know, it's not. It's like, you know, when someone tells a joke and it's not a gut buster. It's more of a one that makes you chuckle softly. It's like that, but for movies.
Wow, you just tied that into joking very well.
I didn't even realize I'd done it.
Yeah,
I'm so good at my job. That's not true. Okay, does anybody else want to make any final?
I'm trying to think
for 2019.
Like there must be something obvious.
What about Godzilla? What about that one?
Godzilla, King of the Monsters is next year.
That's a maybe. That's
one of my most anticipated movies of the year.
I'm stoked for it. I just don't know if it's gonna. I would love for the giant monster movie to blow up in 2019. If that is just a massive hit, and then we get a bunch of crazy bananas giant monsters movies, because I mean, I like them. Rampage. As Nella someone, and I are huge
as
fans.
As someone who
you launched a whole YouTube Rampage. Series as a result of Rampage.
Oh God, I really loved Rampage. Like, I am also here for big monster movies making a comeback. Yep. Like,
and as we all know,
I'm here for them being the new zombies again. Just bring it on back. Just keep that cycle going.
Yeah, I mean, the great conflict between Adam and I is over Kong Skull Island.
That's right.
But you know, I like the idea of Godzilla, King Kong doing this one. And then, you know, man, that means they could make an Ultraman movie. That would be really cool. And then, yeah, they could, you know, they could do whole movies about like King Ghidorah and Rodan and
Mothra
and Mothra.
Gamera.
Yeah, man.
I know he's not necessarily the same company, but still.
Yeah, there's just so many things that they could be doing with giant monsters, yeah. You know, that I would be really game for. If somehow Godzilla King of Monsters succeeded where Pacific Rim failed, to bring that to a really true worldwide audience,
yeah.
I would be jazzed.
I don't think it's going to, I think it's going to be Kong Skull Island big, you know?
I think it's going to be bigger than that.
Really?
My money says that is going to make more money than either the first Godzilla movie or Kong Skull Island.
Interesting.
Absolutely, I believe that it will do. As long as if it's spectacle, if people are going to go and it looks great on a big screen, you know, especially if the word coming out on it is it's thrilling, and if you see it on IMAX, it'll melt your face right off. If that's what it comes out with, I think it'll do pretty big numbers for sure. I don't think it's going to be a $1 billion movie, but I think it could do pretty great.
You guys brought up Rampage. I'm trying to think what The Rock's release schedule looks like in 2019.
Oh, what does he have coming out? Hold on.
Actually, is there a Jumanji series?
There is a Jumanji 2.
Yes.
Oh,
so that'll do well. I don't think it's going to be a game-changing movie, but I think it'll do well.
And I'm actually looking forward to that because I actually really like Jumanji.
You know what? But that is the least controversial opinion.
That's my hottest take right there.
I was going to say,
you know what else I like? Ice cream.
Yeah.
And puppies.
I was going to say, you know, all the Kevin James controversies in all the world is not going to take people out of liking Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle. It's just one of those films that people like.
And is the Fast and the Furious spinoff coming this year?
Oh, it is. The Hobbs and Shaw thing.
Yeah, that'll do well.
That will do very well.
That's not the genres that we cover, but that'll do well.
But the people who watch the things that we cover are the same people.
Yes.
It's like saying we don't really cover wrestling.
That's true.
Except that wrestling, you know, the circle of people who like wrestling and the circle of people that like comic books are virtually the same circle.
Speaking of things that are kind of borderline, there's supposed to be a Bond movie this year, theoretically.
Oh, really?
I don't. But then everything fell apart, so I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Also, supposedly an animated Addams Family movie.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to do anything, though. I mean, I like Adam's Family and everything, but I don't see how that. Anyway,
yeah.
I think we've did it.
Yeah.
Now I want to know from the listeners at home, what is it that you want to win? What is your fervent hope? What do you think is actually going to do it? Think of it like award season, you know. And then, you know, tell us about Captain Marvel. Did you like the new look? Did you read the comic? Have you been won over? Are you now excited about Captain Marvel, and where are you on Star Trek at this point? Because it really, I think it's starting to find itself, but it's been in the woods for a long time. So has it come out of the woods? Was it like Dr. Livingston, I presume? Has it happened? Let us know all that stuff. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do. And also, if you've never given us a review, also do that. It's very helpful. Make sure that you are checking out all of the Sci-Fi Wire podcasts. It's a pretty big family now. In addition to our podcast, you've got the Phantom Files, Strong Female Characters, Behind the Panel, Project Blue Book, the Deadly Class podcast is going to start next week, and then the Amazon stuff. If you've got Amazon Alexa, you can listen to Untold Story with me, and there's Debate Club, and there's Geeksplain with Angelique Roche. So, yep. I didn't know when we did this podcast 3.5 years ago that it was going to be this way, but here we are.
That's right.
Listen to all of them. Before we wrap up, where can folks find you on the World Wide Web?
People can find me on Instagram at RockTheFaces.
People can find me on YouTube at Nella Explains, and you can find my podcast, The Apocalypse Book Club, at Apocalypse C on Twitter.
And what's your Twitter handle?
And my Twitter handle is Nellachronism.
Yeah, I heard that podcast. Good. Anyway, my name is Danny Roth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.